Well, greetings, little flock, on the Bible study tonight. I have a question for us to look into tonight. Where are Enoch and Elijah? Where are Enoch and Elijah? The scripture reveals that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, yet the Bible reveals that they are not in heaven today. They're not there. Where are they? And we want to go through this astonishing truth tonight of where are Enoch and Elijah? The scripture says that Enoch was translated. So where did he go? I know the Protestant group that I grew up in and everything, and others, I think they pretty much say, well, Enoch was translated to heaven. Elijah was translated or conveyed to heaven in a chariot of fire. But yet, is the Bible contradicting itself when Jesus Christ says in John 3, verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, this was a long time after Enoch and a long time after Elijah, but yet the Bible says that they aren't in heaven. So, then where is Enoch? Where is Elijah? Now, as we'll first look at Enoch and go through the story about Enoch to figure out where he is at. The scripture says, just like so many of God's faithful servants, that Enoch walked with God. Now, it reveals that at the age of 65, Enoch had a son named Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. That's found in Genesis, the 5th chapter, verse 22. Okay, so here is a man that pleased God. Here was a man that walked with God, which meant that he was a man of faith. He had the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's see what it says over here in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, that is God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Enoch had to be a man of faith. So no one can walk with God unless he is in agreement with God. That's what we often say and go to Amos 3, verse 3. In Amos 3, verse 3, it makes an obvious statement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course, the answer is no. If you aren't in agreement, if you're not in that one-ment, you're going to part company in a matter of time. So in this generation, Enoch was the only recorded person who followed the ways of God, even though it took him 65 years to learn to walk with God. Some of us are called late in life, and when we hear the year 65, we might seem to think that that was a long time before Enoch started walking with God, but as we know, the lifespan was much longer back then. For instance, Adam lived 930 years, Seth 912 years, Enos 905, Cain 910, Mahalalel 895, Jared 862, but Enoch only lived 365 years. Methuselah 969, and then the next shortest person was listed here is Lamech, 777 years, and then even Noah lived a total of 950 years. That makes you wonder about why did Enoch only walk with God for those 300 years. That he only lived 365 years, or 365 years until he was translated. You and I, as the Church of God, we're the called out ones. We're just a small group of people. And all the world thinks that we're weird, that we are off our rockers, that we're loco, we're crazy, that we're unusual, we're odd, because we don't go along with this world. We've been called out of this world. And it was the same way with Enoch. Enoch walked with God, that he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. So Enoch followed God's way for 300 years. And so we realize that Moses, God inspired Moses to write the book of Genesis. And Moses doesn't say here that Enoch is still walking with God. He said he walked with God. So why? Because all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's what we see here in Genesis 5:23. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Not just part of his days, but all of his days. If Enoch did not die, if he were changed to immortality and continued to walk with God, then his days would have been more than 365 years. But it says that's all of his days. If, as we look through there, this fifth chapter of Genesis, a dozen times it talks about, you know, so-and-so lived for the length of time, and he died. Let's look at Genesis 5 again. Here in Genesis 5. And verse 4 says, "In the days of Adam, after he had begot Seth, were 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." All the days. And then Seth lived 100 years, and he begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. So if you continued reading through here, it's the same way, person after person. If you notice, it says all the days, all the days. And it says here, as we read, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So it's pointed out here that this scripture is actually revealing that Enoch died after 365 years, a very young lifespan. So, but what about the translation? You know, if you talk to the average person, I would say that is a avid churchgoer, they're going to tell you that Enoch was translated. He went on to heaven. They're going to tell you that Elijah was taken up by a chariot of fire and horses of fire into heaven. And they think they're there today. From what I understand, the Jewish people at the Passover service, that they observe a day late with their roasted lamb meal, they say some of them have an empty chair for Elijah to return. So what does the word translate mean? Thus, the scriptures records that Enoch was not found because God took him or translated him. The Bible does not say Enoch went to heaven when he was translated. Instead, it says he was not found. That's another interesting part of the scripture. A lot of times we don't carefully look at what the scripture says. We read into it what we think it means instead of being very particular and very efficient and just laying all the scriptures out in the line, laying them all out in a row, looking at word for word. Just like Mr. Armstrong that time when he thought that he finally found the scripture that did away with the Sabbath day. Not to let any man judge you in respect the Sabbath or holy days or new moons. And then he came to find out that one little word there, respect, was a word that he had to look up to find that in part of. And it was referring, he said, to the sacrificial system that occurred on all these days. So we have to be very careful. So the original Greek word for translate is metatithemi. You can tell I'm Greek speaking. According to the Ernst Gingrich's Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament 1969 edition, the primary meaning is to convey to another place, to transfer. Of course, you and I talk about transferring maybe our money from one, maybe our savings account, if our checking account is running a little low, transferring some money over to it. So it's about transferring, moving. The same Greek word is rendered carried over in Acts 7:16. So let's look at Acts 7, verse 16. Acts 7, going down to verse 16. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. So that word right there is the same Greek word that talks about Enoch being translated to convey, to take to another place. That is why Moses said that God took Enoch. God removed, he translated him, so that he was not found. And we're going to get into why God took him and why he was not found. God took Enoch and buried him. God took God and buried him. I mean, God took Moses and buried him. So we read in Deuteronomy 34:6, we read how that God took Moses from the people after which he died and was buried by God. That's over in Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. And it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. That's verse 5 and verse 6. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. And Moses was 120 years old, and God buried him. Just a side thought, some people want to know about cremation and different things. But if Moses buried, if God buried Moses and didn't cremate him, and if Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb, and as we read of all God's people in there, don't we, that they were all buried, it seems to me like we should follow Christ's example and follow in his footsteps and be buried. So Enoch was not made immortal. He was taken away. He was not found. He lived 365 days. That's all the days, all the years that Enoch lived. To us, that's a long time, but as I read to you how long the other people were living at that time, this is very odd that he died so early. And there's a reason why. Now, this word translate is also found, and it does not mean to be made immortal. Let's look at what it says about being translated in Colossians, the first chapter in verse 13. Colossians 1, in verse 13, notice it says, he, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed, that's the New King James Version, or translated, that's the word, same word in the Greek, has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I think the old King James probably uses the word translated there, but it's the same word. So, notice that he was translated, and we're translated, you and I as Christians, we're translated or removed, we're conveyed, we're changed from being underneath Satan's sway, Satan's rule, Satan's government. We are translated under and submission to the government of God. We're translated into submission to God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. So although we were once part of the darkness of this world, now we are translated, removed from darkness into the light of the kingdom of God. Now, another important scripture to realize that Enoch did not go to heaven. And of course, we have to know what God really promises God's people, and it's not heaven. If you read in the Beatitudes, what does Jesus say? It says something like, the meek will inherit the earth. not heaven. In the example prayer that Jesus gave to teach us how to pray, what does he say to do? He says, pray, thy kingdom come. He says, talking to one woman at the gym a while back, she said something about going to heaven or something. And what I thought or something, I said, Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come. She said, what does that mean? You and I know what that means, that we're not going to heaven. Jesus Christ is coming to this earth, and his kingdom is going to be set up on this earth. So let's look and see who is in heaven at this time. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 39. Hebrews 11. In verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promises. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So notice that all these people, these great servants of God throughout time, have not received the promise. They have not received eternal life. They've not inherited the kingdom of God. It says, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And we realize that there's a first resurrection, that God's people will be in the first resurrection. And we who are alive at that point will be then translated, transformed into God beings as well. But it will all be at the return of Jesus Christ. Now, if you read through all these people, it goes through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samson, David, just various ones. They said they have not received the promise. Because God has a time order when we will all inherit the promise. And as you notice here, verse 12, therefore we also, since we, chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people that have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We have to be overcomers, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Because we too want to be people of faith. We too want to enter into that promise, receive eternal life, to enter into the kingdom of God. So Enoch must be dead, because we realize that we will not receive eternal life until the return of Jesus Christ. So since Enoch did not receive eternal life, then he must be dead. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, Enoch was among these people. He was among those that follow God. And it says, all of God's people died in faith. So these all that died in faith, of course, included Enoch. But what does it mean about Paul saying that Enoch should not see death? Does that mean that he is alive? That he did receive eternal life? And be a contradiction? Again, if we look back at the scripture, it says Enoch lived only 365 years. Then what could Paul possibly mean by saying, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death? It is not found because God had translated him. Notice, when you read this, nowhere does it say that Enoch did not die. Did you notice how it is worded that he should not see death? We have to remember that there is more than one death mentioned in the Bible. Let's turn over to Revelation 20. Over in Revelation 20, And let's look at verse 6. But the rest of the dead, that's those that weren't in the first resurrection, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection over such, notice this, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God, and the Christ shall reign with him 1,000 years. So notice, there's the first death and there is the second death. So the death that Enoch escaped by being translated, by being conveyed, by being removed, is one that he can escape in the future on certain conditions. What we're seeing is it's referring that the death that Enoch should not see is the second death. Just like you and I as Christians, if we're faithful, endure to the end, we shall not see the second death. So let's look at John 11, verse 26. John 11, verse 26. In verse 26, Jesus Christ said, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So what he's referring about, that you and I have been begotten by God. We've received his Holy Spirit, that spiritual sperm, that germ of eternal life, his DNA. And if we endure to the end, we hang on there, we will never suffer the second death. We're going to live forever. We're going to live forever. This physical death, whenever it comes, you know, is like nothing compared to all eternity. Did Jesus ever speak of a death that might be escaped? He certainly did. In John 8, verse 51. John 8, verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. You see, we realize that it's appointed unto man once to die. These physical bodies just are not going to live forever. But he's referring that we'll receive a spirit body, spirit life, and we're going to live for all eternity. Let's look at John 11, verse 26. Might have already read that. Yes, I did. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Because see, this is at the point talking about the Lazarus that's going to be resurrected back to physical life. Jesus said in the previous verse, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And you and I, once we are in a part of that first resurrection, once we've been translated to spirit beings, then the second death has no power on us. We can never die again. We'll never get sick. We'll never grow old and age and become feeble. So, Enoch will be in the first resurrection because he met the condition. He endured to the end. Enoch had faith and he believed God. He walked with God. Several of God's spirit, people, it talks about walking with God. And you and I, we have to walk with God. We have to be in agreement. If you're walking with someone, you're both going to be falling in the same direction. And not only we're going to walk with God, but Jesus said that we should walk. Peter said that we should walk in Jesus' steps. He left those footprints for us, the Holy Bible, to know the path to take. So thus Enoch met the condition so that he should not see death. The second death shall never touch Enoch because of his faith and obedience. So there's two translations. Let's look at the two translations. Now we can understand Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. So notice here in Hebrews 11:5, it uses this translation twice. Two translations, as we're referring to Enoch. Examining this verse, this fact, by fact, we notice that Enoch had faith. He had the faith of Jesus Christ. He is one of those few people in the Old Testament that God gave His Holy Spirit. So he was translated, he was transferred from the conditions of this evil, wicked world, being submissive to, you know, the kingdom of God. Just as we read earlier, Colossians 1:13, the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So he went from, you know, probably it sounds like the age of 65, because then he walks with God for 300 years. So he then started going God's way. He started walking with God. He became converted. He started changing and growing, just like you and I do. Paul shows that to abide in this kingdom, we must walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And isn't that what God says for you and I to receive His promises and blessings? If we keep His commandments, if we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Then Enoch, the same as Christians, was delivered from the power of sin and darkness in which he had been living for 65 years. So then for 300 years then, he walked with God until age 365. So that's around, this article was written by Dr. Hay in his dates, is around 3293 to 2993. B.C., so that he might inherit eternal life at Christ's return and should not suffer the second death. So by faith, Enoch was separated, removed, or translated from the world, the same as Christians, who are not to be a part of the world, although living in the world. So you and I have been translated. And we also should not see the second death. Being translated so we should not see that second death. God took him physically. Oh, up here it says, not only was Enoch figuratively taken from the society of his day, he was figuratively taken because he was then, you know, under God's government, God's rule. He was submissive to God. He walked with God. But God also took him physically away from the people. That's the second translation, or should I say the first translation, since the second one would be whenever he is born again into the kingdom of God. God took him physically away from the people, just as he later took Moses. And God buried each as well, so well, that neither has ever been found since then. So as we look at his age again compared to the age of all the other people, 365 years is a very short age at that time. Say today, if a person lives 100 years old, they lived a pretty good age. But, you know, compared to him and them, he only lived about once. Let's see, he lived about one-third, or a little better than one-fourth of your age. So that'd probably be like someone dying, say, 25, 30 years old today. You know, that we would say that's a premature death, a premature age, a premature lifespan. So clearly Enoch died a premature death. He did not complete his normal life cycle. He was cut off, as it were, in the midst of his days. But what happened? See, here we've got a story. We've got a mystery. What happened? Does the Bible or a Jewish tradition give us any clue? So we're going to look at a clue of what happened to Enoch, why he died prematurely, and why he was translated or removed. This goes back to another man, Lamech's boast. Lamech was a descendant of Cain. Not the same person listed in the genealogy of Genesis 5. And he boasted to his two wives. He had two wives. And let's look over Genesis 4, verse 23 and 24 and see what he boasted. This is pretty important that we get this so that we'll know why that Enoch only, all his days were only 365 years. So as we look at Genesis 4, let's start in verse 23 and then verse 24. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man. Notice he says, I have slain a man to my wounding. And notice this, and a second person, a young man to my hurt. And notice, you know, a clue of who the first man was that he slayed. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So that gives us something to think about there. It says in this article that man was Cain. That's the clue that we've been given. Hence Lamech's reference to the fact that God would take vengeance on anyone who dared to murder Cain. But who was the young man? So as we read through the record of the different people's ages, the young man that we read there was Enoch, only 365 years. The next one was 700 and some years that we read. Longest, and then the others were like a lot, 900 some years, almost 900. Yeah, Lamech was 777 years. But Enoch was only 365. And the others, like I said, were 900 some years, most of them. One up here, 895. So, by looking at those ages, we can say and use as a clue that Enoch was the young man that he slayed. Enoch walked with God. Furthermore, he prophesied of the coming of Christ. This is what Enoch did to execute judgment and to convict the ungodly. And he was, in effect, a preacher of righteousness. Let's look at that in Jude. And, of course, Jude only has one chapter. And let's look at verses 14 and 15. This is one of the easier books to find, since it's right before Revelation. Jude 1, since there is only one. Verse 14, now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of the saints. This is what Enoch did. He prophesied. So I guess we could say he was a preacher of righteousness too. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all who convict and all to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Back today, and of course back then, people did not like to be told that they were evil and wicked and that they should repent, that their lifestyles was wrong, that they were disobedient to their Creator. Let's go back a couple pages to 2 Peter 2, verse 5. Second Peter 2, and verse 5. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So you see, not only was Noah a preacher of righteousness, but we see here that Enoch also was. And people did not like to hear his message. We know that the two witnesses are yet to come. And it shows in there that the world will reject the two witnesses, that they will hate being corrected, that they'll be hate to see that they're living contrary to the word of God and that they're sinners and in big trouble and that God's wrath is going to fall on them if they don't repent. And what do? They slay the two witnesses, the two martyrs. So God's message has never been popular. As a servant of God, Enoch undoubtedly convicted and enraged many by his message. His life was in danger. Finally, that ungodly generation tolerated Enoch's preaching no longer. By comparing Lamech's saying with the age of Enoch at his death, we may deduce, and he uses the word deduce, up above he said the word clue, from Scripture, the possibility that Lamech by himself or with a mob stilled Enoch's voice by murder. No, Enoch was not translated into eternal life. He died, evidently murdered. Don't think this strange or unusual. Hebrew tradition reveals that Noah, the great grandson of Enoch, had to flee for his life in order to carry out the work of God. So, whatever the circumstances, God did not permit the body of Enoch to be desecrated or publicly displayed. God physically removed his body or translated his body, very likely in the sight of his murderers, before they could defile it. Otherwise, how would anyone have known that God had taken it? So let's read that again. Whatever the circumstances, God did not permit the body of Enoch to be desecrated or publicly displayed. God physically removed or translated his body, very likely in the sight of his murderers, before they could defile it. Otherwise, how would anyone have known that God had taken him, that God had translated him? A sign from God. God gave this sign of physical removal as a type for all those who should later follow Enoch's example of faith. He was taken physically from the people just as Christians are to be spiritually removed from the ways of this world. You and I are told to come out of this world, not to love the world, not to be a part, of the pulls of the flesh, the vanity of our mind, the ways of this world. This world, of course, influenced by Satan the devil. The physical translation or carrying away of Enoch was also a sign from God that his faith had been accepted. God often gives signs. Let's look at Isaiah 38, verse 7. Isaiah 38, verse 7. It says, and this is a sign to you from the Lord, the Eternal, that the Eternal will do this thing which he has spoken. So again, showing that at times God does give signs. The question may arise, why did God allow his righteous servant Enoch to die? Sometimes we ask questions like, well, why does God allow his people to suffer? Why does God allow his people to get sick? Or why does God allow his people to die? The question may arise, why did God allow this righteous servant Enoch to die? The Bible contains, if you have eyes to see, a chronicle or obituary of the death of the prophets and apostles of God throughout history. Many of the greatest men in the Bible learned, including Jesus Christ, the greatest. From what we understand, all the apostles except perhaps the apostle John were martyred. Like every true saint, Enoch is awaiting the hope of the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The first recorded martyr after the church was started, of course, that we know, was Stephen. And the people of his day did not like being regrouped. They didn't like being told their spiritual condition and that they had to repent of what they had done and what they were doing. And they stoned him. Jesus Christ allowed it. But Stephen also will be in the kingdom of God. And he was translated from this physical world into the kingdom of God, from this society, into, underneath the government and rule of God. And one day, he'll be translated that he will not see the second death. He will be a spirit being. On such, the second death has no power. Well, we haven't got to Elijah yet. It's just now time to get to Elijah, but we've had 40 minutes, so that would make it too long. So I want to stop here tonight for Bible study. Thank you for being here. I hope it's profitable for you. If you have any questions or anything, or any comments,